Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yep, in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, a couple of news and notes items when it comes to the Texans. We were telling you earlier that Kayvon Wallace is returned on the practice squad. Another bit of safety news, Jonathan Alexander reporting that rookie safety Jalen Reed is expected to be designated to return to practice today. So that would be another safety option, and there's definitely a conversation to be had about, you know, how you handle that going into the game, but it's better to have options than to not have any.
Yes, it is.
As well as Jawar Jordan, at least according to Aaron Wilson of KPRC2, suffered a high ankle sprain in week 18 and on an apparent hip drop tackle. We've talked a little bit about that. Recovery time is undetermined, and so that puts in question what you have running back too. I would imagine so, but we'll let it play out over the course of the week. As we head towards a Monday night wild card matchup with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and joining us to talk about that as we head behind enemy lines is Nick Faribault. He covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. Nick, thanks for joining us. I keep wanting to call it the Patriot News because I am a newspaper guy, and my co-host actually has worked with a number of newspapers. Does anybody do that, or is it just PennLive?
No. We still call it the Patriot News. It's the PennLive/Patriot News because we do still actually have a physical copy, which is actually rare nowadays.
Yeah, so I saw what happened with the Post-Gazette.
Yeah, man, that sucked, and I know so many people there that are really good, and that's like a huge bastion for Pittsburgh. I mean, it's the biggest masthead in the entire city, so that's going to be a dredge for local journalism, but in Harrisburg, you can indeed still get the Patriot News.
Very good.
Right physical, too.
Excellent. Love hearing that. So we're talking about this game, and we were listening to Mike Tomlin, some of his availability from earlier in the week, and he seemed very, very congratulatory and obviously spoke highly of this defense that the Texans have, obviously, but also the secondary in particular. And we were hypothesizing that should we expect to see a lot of running the football? What are you guys looking at for the possibility of how the Steelers offensively go about attacking this defense?
Yeah, I mean, they do like to run the football to take some pressure off Aaron Rodgers at this stage in his career, but Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers, and if you know a little bit about Aaron Rodgers, he's going to check out of a lot of run plays anyway. So they're going to throw the ball more than enough. I'm not sure they're going to throw 47 times like they did against Baltimore, but I do think they're going to still see a heavy dose of the passing game. But I think that they kind of look at this game, and when they've gone against teams similar to the Texans, which is, you know, strong defense, or at least a game where they thought physicality in the trenches was going to be a really big deciding factor, they do come out and start running the ball. And oftentimes, the Steelers aren't really a team that comes out hot on the ground. They're kind of a team that wears you down. They just kind of put the bulldozer straight into the A and the B gap. They run that outside zone later as the game goes on. And they try and wear down teams in the trenches. I can think of that happened to Baltimore last week. It's happened to Detroit when they just started really ripping off explosives in Detroit a few weeks ago. It has happened multiple times to where that run game has wore down teams. And so I think we're going to see a heavy dose of the run game. I think we're going to see a heavy dose of play action. I think they're going to try and take as much pressure off Aaron Rodgers and the offensive line and all of those factors as they can, try and get easy button stuff. But I don't know how easy it's going to be because, you know, the Texans' defense is very good. And so they're going to try and wear them down in the trenches. The Steelers have done it multiple times this year, but I think this is going to be their greatest test to doing that.
Well, and how does DK Metcalf come into play with all that? Not just, you know, the run game and having the play action option, but just being on the field.
Yeah, he's a big factor. He gives the Steelers a lot of options to what they can do outside of him, just because he usually does get two people on him. Now, the Texans are a different story. Maybe they just put Stingley on him. That's possible. But what the Steelers have faced a lot with DK Metcalf in the lineup is a lot of bracket coverage. And it has opened up things for others like Kenneth Gainwell and Jaylen Warren. They'll get one-on-one chances in the open field, so you get some yak there. You've also seen some other guys like Adam Thielen and Calvin Austin III step up in some opportunities. That hasn't been great, though. This wide receiver room is not very good outside of DK. I will say DK also helps the run game a lot. He's kind of their big hulking body. He gives them a lot of effort in the run game. And he also, just like I said, draws two people. So it lightens the box. It gives the Steelers numbers advantage in the run game. And so he's just kind of a math problem to a degree. And then if you leave him one-on-one, Aaron's going to take the shot down the sideline. So, you know, if I were Derek Stingley, be on high alert. I'm sure that the Texans are going to trust Derek Stingley to go one-on-one with him a number of times. But the Steelers will take that in an effort to get explosive plays. And then the other thing they do with him is they get him on crosses a lot, try to get him free for Yak, because that has been something they've unlocked in his game this year that maybe Seattle didn't do enough of, is that he has gotten catches in space. And when he gets in space, he's a tough man to bring down. He's a big dude. So that's how they use DK. And that's something to think about when he's back now. He will have magnetism that the Texans will have to plan around to make sure no one else takes advantage of it.
We're talking to Nick Faribault here as we go behind enemy lines in loop on Sports Radio 610. I'm intrigued by the shot plays that the Steelers are inevitably going to take in some ways. In your estimation, because, you know, listening to Tomlin talk, I almost feel like he has such a great respect for what you're dealing with this defense that I could expect max protect opportunities to go deep. Could you expect it like that? What would shot plays look like in your estimation in this game?
Yeah, the Steelers' shot plays are kind of interesting. A lot of them are just Aaron Rodgers drawing them up in the dirt, kind of like the hitch and go they got against the Ravens last week. He drew that up in the dirt, told Calvin Austin in the huddle to run a hitch and go, and it was a touchdown. But when they go max protect, you'll see a lot of different things. You'll see double crossers. You'll see a post crosser combo. You'll see a bunch of different things. You'll see, you know, deep out routes that are essentially 25 yards. You'll see dagger. You'll see a bunch of different things that they run to try and get these guys free. And the one thing the Steelers wide receiver room does have a lot of is speed. They aren't a great well-rounded room, but between DK, Calvin Austin, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and Scotty Miller, those guys can run. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what it does is they'll run the shot play to maybe open up something underneath. So they'll run max protect, right? But then they'll leak the running back out of the backfield and Rodgers will hit Warren or Gainwell for 15 yards underneath. That has happened before. And so the Steelers haven't run a bunch of max protect stuff, and without Darnell Washington in the lineup, I think that really changes the math of how they get to their deep passing game, because he is just such a force in terms of pass pro and what he brings to the table. But I do think when you talk about shot plays, you're talking probably a lot about those crossers, the post routes that they're going to try and take. When they have faced teams that have had, you know, safety questions, and certainly I think the Texans, that's like maybe one of the only questions you have this week is it's, who's it going to be? That is something that they have tried to at least exploit and make those guys prove it. So that's my guess on how it would look.
Nick, I want to ask you kind of a big picture question, because we all know that radio callers and social media posters always represent the reality in this world. But big picture, were Steelers fans, do you feel, happy that the Steelers got into the playoffs?
You know, I think there's a section of that fan base, just like there was a section of the Ravens fan base that wanted them to lose because they thought change would come. Obviously, for the Ravens, that did happen. For the Steelers, though, I think they were in a weird spot, because this season has probably been one of the more encouraging seasons in recent memory. Even though they're at the same spot they've been the last 2 years, the amount of young guys that have built up a cachet this year that have just kind of broken out has been very encouraging. And so I think there's enough people in that fan base that say, hey, you know, you want to win the AFC North, you want to make it to the dance, especially because the AFC is just not nearly as good this year as it's been. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't matter if you drew Houston, Buffalo, Jacksonville, or Los Angeles. It feels like those teams, compared to some of these teams the Steelers have faced in the last few years where they just get run off the football field, aren't nearly as good as those teams were. So I think that in that regard, yes, I think there's a feeling in the fan base that they wanted the Steelers to get in. I don't think there's a feeling in the fan base that is satisfied with Mike Tomlin, but I don't think that has to come at the expense of making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tomlin, we could talk about this for a while. What are you hearing as the main complaints? Because, like, from the outside looking in, it's easy to just keep looking at the record, hearing him speak in a way that is calm, comfortable, and authoritative. What is it that people are most upset about?
I mean, the Steelers are just a team that's consistently not super well coached. They struggle to get a lot of things that other staffs do really well correct. Now, they've done a few things this year that has changed the Rolodex on Mike. Mike's really evolved schematically this year defensively. I think that's been a new kind of thing that for him. So that's something that is promising. But, you know, what they do offensively at times, despite the stats honestly looking better than you would think with the personnel, they don't use Pat Freiermuth a lot, which I think is a frustrating point. You know, it's the same thing on defense. They don't maximize some of the players that they have. They don't maximize Nick Herbig, who is a really good third edge rusher and could start for probably any other team in the league. And then you kind of look at just some of the personnel decisions, some of the schematic decisions, some of how they put players into positions. It's not always great. And I think, you know, there's always this thought of you can always end up with more. I think Mike Tomlin's a great floor raiser. I think he's the best floor raiser in the game. I think it's an argument of ceiling. And so I think the real question with Mike Tomlin right now is, you know, he's a big, strong culture builder. You know, he's going to give you a high floor. You're going to be competitive every year. But are you going to hoist that Lombardi? And I think nowadays there's a question in the Steelers organization. There's a question certainly in the city of Pittsburgh between how he kind of coaches games, between some of his coaching hires. I don't think his coordinator hires have been very sterling over the past decade. And so all of that comes together, and it kind of has capped the ceiling for Mike Tomlin at this wild card round. You lose and you're out. And now the Steelers need to find new cutting edge stuff. So Mike Tomlin has to evolve. He has to find some new spots. This year he started to do that, but those are some of the main complaints with Mike Tomlin. And if you watch it week to week, you definitely would understand kind of those weak points and how it caps the ceiling that the Steelers have right now.
And we've talked about it this week, Nick. I've just been fascinated about which Aaron Rodgers is going to show up on Sunday. He's still Aaron Rodgers, but he's not quite the same Aaron Rodgers, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, just physically, et cetera. But is this one where, you know, caution to the wind, and he, you know, you talked about him calling a play, drawing up a play in the dirt. Is this one where it's really just about Aaron Rodgers?
You know, to a degree it is. The one thing about Aaron is his arm is still there, and you'll see a few throws a game where he just – it's like you're watching MVP Rodgers, you know what I mean? It's like the throw to Adam Thielen on the seam ball against the Ravens, that's a throw he's made for 20 years, you know? And he'll pull it out sometimes. The thing with Aaron, though, is he doesn't want to get hit. And I know no quarterback wants to get hit, but he has a real affinity to not getting hit. And it destroys his game when he gets caught in his own head. We saw that against the Browns. I think he was too worried about Myles Garrett. And then you kind of see it against other teams. His three worst games this year were Los Angeles, Buffalo, and Cleveland. And all of those games, he was under duress. He was under pressure. And it got to his head. And the Steelers' pass pro has not really been bad. This offensive line has been really good. Even when he has to hold onto the ball, they give him time. He just doesn't want to get hit at all. And he'll duck his head. He'll miss reads. He'll take low-percentage fade balls instead of letting concepts breathe. That's what happened in Cleveland. The Steelers drew up a bunch of concepts to beat the Browns' man coverage, and he would just take the fade ball instead of letting the concept breathe. That will cause him to run into sacks, throw the ball away. It hasn't really led to turnovers, but what it does lead to is a bunch of three and outs and punts. And so that's really the thing with Aaron Rodgers when he struggles. When he is on, though, he's comfortable in the pocket. He's got full command of the offense. And when you look at some of the best games of his year against the Ravens, against the Jets, games like that where he just sliced and diced them all game, he was super comfortable in the pocket and he was in command. And so that's what they need from him in this game. He needs to come in knowing, you know, Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, and this Texans defense are going to hit him, but it's really going to be up to him how he's going to feel. Is he going to get jittery, or is he going to be confident standing there and take some hits?
Yeah, I can tell you how I would feel in that moment.
That's right.
We're talking to Nick Faribault of Penn Live and the Patriot News in Pennsylvania here on In the Loop. I'm sure, or maybe you haven't. I don't know if you guys have heard the same thing that we've heard all week long, which is about the Steelers' sterling record at home on Monday nights. And I just don't understand what would be in that, because I try not to lean into the mysticism. And so I'm trying to figure this out. What's your best guess as to why that would be the case, besides, you know, just Acrisure Stadium having some level of pixie dust on it?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, some of it has been they don't play good teams on Monday Night Football, at least in recent memory. I could think they played the Jets last year. They played the Dolphins this year. They won the year they played the Browns. Like, they've not played good teams in Monday Night Football settings. But that streak isn't just a Mike Tomlin streak. That's all the way back to Bill Cowher. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of part. I think the Steelers had some really good teams this year. You think Killer Bees, you think the 2000s Super Bowl teams. Even in the 90s, they didn't have a quarterback, but they had some good teams. So I think some of it's opponent related. Some of it is the fact that they've just had some good teams. But I also think, you know, the extra with Mike Tomlin specifically on Monday nights, it feels like the extra day. I don't know what it is about it. It allows them to have this robust, fleshed out prep. And they come out with, you know, some of the best game plans on Monday Night Football. I can remember some of these games where you just see new stuff the Steelers throw at the wall on Monday nights. It's like the extra day allows them some time to self-scout, and they'll break off tendencies. So I think in terms of coaching, that's part of it. But I do think this is somewhat of a streak of happenstance between, you know, good teams playing bad teams. And then with Tomlin, they pull out some of their best game plans on Monday nights. So credit to them for that.
Appreciate you. Oh, one more thing, because I've been thinking about this. How would you evaluate the secondary? Because I've looked at Jalen Ramsey as a microcosm of that, and it feels like the first half was fantastic for him, and the second half he's showing his age. Is that an accurate description of him and maybe even the secondary as a whole for the Steelers team right now?
The Steelers secondary is the story of the season. First half of the year, they were awful, really outside of Ramsey. Porter was hurt. They struggled without Deshaun Elliott. Now, Deshaun Elliott's still out with an injury, but they've kind of cobbled together what has been a makeshift secondary that has actually risen the floor of this defense. You know, James Pierre's played well. Brandon Echols has been a godsend in the slot. Todd Duggar's had some good games. But the concern of the secondary now, as you mentioned, is the safeties. You know, Jalen Ramsey, I think you can tell, is painstakingly still trying to learn safety. They busted three coverages at safety last week between Duggar and him. Duggar got benched for Chuck Clark. So who knows who's even going to start at safety this week next to Jalen Ramsey. So really the corners have actually played way better in the second half of the year with Pierre and Echols now in an Asante Samuel Jr. there. Porter has kind of taken a leap as well. He's become a guy that doesn't get called for that many flags. Like Pat Surtain has more flags this year than Joey Porter Jr. He's kind of taken a leap. But the safety play, you don't know. You know, you don't know what you're going to get each week. Some weeks Duggar and Ramsey are playing really well, and others – they are the bane of the Steelers' defense existence. So this Steelers' defense has been interesting. They will have stretches where they are utterly dominant and shut teams out, and then they will have stretches, usually late in games, where they allow teams to come back in and move the ball at will. So it's been a really interesting defense to watch. But the safety play is probably the biggest concern on the team, period, right now.
His name is Nick Faribault, covers the Steelers for Penn Live out there in Pennsylvania. We really appreciate your insight, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
There he goes. Right. Very, very intriguing to get stuff. A little bit of it. Yeah, 100%. I feel like I have a better idea. And as somebody who spent a number of hours last night starting on the project of why is this Monday night streak the way that it is, he hit on the big things that I was leaning into. I just wanted to feel like I needed to dig deeper. But yeah, they actually haven't played a lot of very good teams on Monday. That won't be the case for them this Monday when they face off against the Houston Texans for a wild card matchup that you'll be able to hear here on Sports Radio 610. All right, you're in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we do our lunchtime confessions.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Damn that Ron the Show Hughley.
What damn did Ron, that. What did he do?
Yeah, well, how does that, Ron take man. A strange yeah. right now?
Damn that.
Where did
man.
That come from?
Well, I'm about to tell you because okay. it's my confession. I cannot. Well,
it's always the little half second pause that gets me.
I cannot. I can no longer listen to Mike Tomlin without thinking of what Ron said.
What did he say about?
Ain't nobody talk like that.
Don't nobody talk like
don't
that.
Nobody talk like that.
That is, yeah.
Like, listen to what we played earlier.
That group sets the pace for them. They play with great energy and emotion. They play well as a collective. They have an appetite for rising up in moments. It just seems like
rising up in moments.
Rising up in moments. Play well as a collective.
As someone who talks a little bit different than the norm, I feel like I have to defend my different talking brethren here. I don't see anything wrong with what Mike Tomlin said there.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but it's like I can't. You know how you can't unsee things? People like to say that. I cannot unhear what Ron said the other day.
That phenomenon is incredible, right? When you just you buy a car and now every car on the
you
road,
see every car,
you see it everywhere,
see the same car.
Except he did that to you, except with Mike Tomlin.
With Mike Tomlin's comments in the collective.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I can't get over the one time. I think it was the last time he played he played the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Houston media was trying to do some type of fairy tale story about, oh, yeah, Mike Tomlin, D'Amico Ryans, two black head coaches.
Yes.
And what do you have in common with D'Amico Ryans? And he was like, quite frankly, we don't have anything in common.
Didn't he say, I don't know him that well?
I don't know him that well.
Which is interesting because was it Monday where I think that there was a question asked of D'Amico about kind of the relationship?
But, and he
talked about him as
respect him.
I respect him. And, you know, every once in a while I might see him at owners' meetings. Yeah. They was just basically like, what, because we black, we got to be homies?
That's exactly what he did the last time, though. Because, you know, people always try to pepper up some type of little story. He was just like, quite frankly, I don't know him. I don't think we have anything in common.
I don't know what we have.
I don't even like that, man. I don't know what
we ain't never run across each other. We don't come up the same coaching ranks. I thought that was hilarious. Because anybody else would have probably leaned into it somehow or gave a generic answer.
Well, D'Amico kind of did this week. You know, he, you could tell he didn't really know Tomlin, but he was respectful.
Sure.
You know, kind of, you know, just giving him some fodder.
But Tomlin don't lean into any of the these narratives,
who?
These media people. He's like, I don't know him at all.
Yeah.
I think Tomlin.
We ain't got nothing in common.
He gets jollies off of the way that he interacts with me. And it's not disrespectful, at least not that I see. I'm not looking at a ton of Steelers interactions with the media, so maybe I'm just missing a whole bunch. But it is one of being slightly difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I will cooperate with you, but I will be slightly difficult in a mischievous way.
Yeah.
If my aunt had male parts.
So yeah.
That's a Tomlin special.
Yep. I've got to admit, I am genuinely excited about something tonight, and it's not the college football playoff.
Well, all right. Go on.
It is the season opener of League One volleyball in Houston. Love Houston is having their opener out at, what is it, the Bassey Center? Barry Center in Cypress. They're facing off against Salt Lake. And I am genuinely excited to watch this.
Volleyball is, we've talked about this off the air, maybe on, I don't remember, it all runs together.
I think we talked about it on air.
It's so good.
Because someone accused us of being creepy about talking about volleyball.
It's fun to watch.
And that's the thing is, really I think is. That might have been some of it because it was Nebraska. Or no, it was when
Nebraska
A&M,
and
A&M was making their move to their ultimate championship in volleyball. And it reminded me how much I enjoyed in college. I got to call some volleyball, call a number of volleyball games. And you get into it, learning the schematics and learning kind of the strategies behind it.
Yeah.
And I am really excited to learn those again. I don't know if I even should because I don't know if I have the bandwidth to dig in as deep.
It's just fun to watch.
But I am,
even as a casual fan.
Oh, yeah.
Rally scoring saved volleyball or made it better.
Mm-hmm.
Because before, I don't know if you know what rally scoring is. It's basically you score on every possession.
Yes. Yeah.
Before,
you used to have to serve, score on serve.
You used to have to serve, and that was the only way you could score. But then it's like, hey, you get the point. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm going to go and brush up on my 5-1, 6-2 offense.
Well, now you know what rally scoring
all those. Well, I mean, I thank you for reminding me, John Lopez. But I'm genuinely going to be watching the League One volleyball game tonight. It's on. It's at 7. If you have Victory Plus, that's where it's going to be broadcast. Or just make your way out to the Barry Center.
Yeah.
But that's going to be on one of the TVs for sure tonight.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great. But all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
I got to confess, I think I caused a little drama from a Facebook post.
Oh, wow.
I think that's what Facebook posts are supposed to do.
Yeah.
Are there non-drama causing Facebook posts? That's what
they're supposed to do?
Yeah.
It was unintentional, though. So yesterday, I think it was somewhere around this time. Remember, Toro was up here.
Yeah.
We had a little rally thing going on up here. And he came in, he kicked me out of my little office, mm-hmm. and he started running the show for like 56 seconds.
Yeah. And it was a terrifying 56 seconds, if
yeah,
I might add.
Yeah, yeah. So I posted a funny video about that.
Yeah,
I made a joke, and I said, hey, I think I just been let go from my job, and this is the guy that took over. And made a funny little reel, posted it on my Instagram, at TheFiggyFig, and the caption said, programming note, I was let go earlier today, replaced by Toro. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I made it funny where, yeah, you know, yeah. joke. So on Instagram, they were commenting like, aha, that's funny. And, you know, a bunch of laughing emojis and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I totally forgot that all of my stuff also go to Facebook.
Oh, bro, no.
So it went to Facebook, too.
Was yeah. it your family that got mad?
Hold on. So the first comment I see, shout out to Judy, who's a listener, too. Mm-hmm. She said, I'm so sorry. Bless you.
That's kind. That's very nice. She was
I'm like, wait a minute. And somebody else said, this is a joke, right? I sure hope so.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. And then somebody else said, you too?
Oh, God.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
this is a totally different reaction yeah. from Instagram. And then I thought that was it until I was out last night at dinner with my wife. Get a call from my mother-in-law.
Oh, no.
And she said, hey, Mom, we out to dinner. Well, what's up? Wait, no, he didn't lose his job, Ma. So I'm thinking like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then went in more detail. Her mom heard from Nana, which is my wife's grandmother.
Yo. Yeah.
Nana saw it on Facebook that he lost his job.
You got to think about Nana.
I'm like, oh, my goodness.
They don't look at the particulars.
I'm like, y'all, like, nobody read the whole caption.
Yeah.
Nobody watched the video.
Welcome to America 2026.
I'm like, oh, my
goodness. Did you delete it on Facebook?
No, I didn't. I'm about to
yeah, go add some more context or something,
I'm
please.
Like, no. I'm like, y'all didn't see this mascot yeah. sitting right here.
It was
here.
A big furry thing.
All they saw was fired, and that's all they needed.
I pointed to the mascot who took my job for 56 seconds, if you read the whole caption. But I'm like, man, I started a whole big mess. And
reading.
By this time, this was like 7 o'clock at night, and that's when we got the call. Oh, Nana said Edward lost his job. I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, oh, my God. Nobody read the caption. Nobody watched the video. It was a hilarious video. Go check it out on my social media, but totally different reaction from Instagram to Facebook.
Welcome to Facebook.
Welcome to America.
Because yeah, ain't America.
Nobody. We're not even reading a full headline.
Instagram was cool.
We got the first part of the headline.
Instagram was cool. Facebook, it was totally the opposite reaction.
I've got to say, though, the emotions that I thought I'd have with Toro mm-hmm. in that moment were not the emotions that I actually had. Like, I thought it would just be, oh, this is all fun and games. And I was like, Toro.
A little uncomfortable.
It very did. It very much did.
He was standing at the window, arms crossed, just staring at us.
It was very yeah. judgmental.
Yes.
And it's the same face all the time, but mm-hmm. I could feel the judgment
yeah.
that was there. And I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I didn't like it. I'm going to be honest.
It was uncomfortable.
But when you're a Hall of Famer, you get to do that, I think.
You can do whatever yeah. you want.
That's right.
Yeah. So we have buy or sell coming up in the next segment.
Oh, that's right.
This could fit there, but my confession is everyone is going to believe this. So there's no reason to put it in buy or sell. I'm going to put it as a confession because I think there is a 100% possibility that this is true. Fernando Mendoza, Indiana quarterback.
Yes.
Told the media this morning that the only, keep in mind, college quarterback,
mm-hmm.
young man, obviously, what is he, Gen Z, or what is he?
I would assume so, yes.
I lost count on all that stuff, about the
technology and platforms and all that stuff. He says the only social media he has is LinkedIn and YouTube.
He does give that energy now, doesn't he?
He has LinkedIn. I'm like, of course he does.
He does give LinkedIn energy.
LinkedIn. Are you going to download any apps? Yeah, LinkedIn. That's the only one I need.
I don't know if anybody. Are people actually using LinkedIn? I'm in the wrong profession for this.
Honestly, that might be the best thing for him to keep all the noise out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just stay on LinkedIn. Ain't nobody
there. But I don't
think
it's that. I think it's just
it's got to be that. Because
I mean, for some,
I'm pretty sure babies nowadays are born with Instagram pages.
No, for some, I would believe that. But I think he's just that. Weird.
What do you think he
just had? Go ahead and call him dorky. We'll get dorky, it. I think yeah. he would call himself dorky. Yeah.
All I need is LinkedIn. I got to think about my future. Your future.
I wonder if he just have LinkedIn just from a long time ago and just don't use it, but mainly on YouTube.
He's 22 years old or whatever.
Yeah, but, I mean, what are you doing on LinkedIn?
I bet he has
LinkedIn?
An update. I bet you could go check on it right now.
He probably still got his high school in there.
Former starting quarterback, Indiana, looking for position in National Football League. I bet that was his last update on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
I bet.
There's a million apps out there.
Yeah, 832, starting college quarterback seeking employment, without question. That's what's happening right now.
Hey, that's Fernando. A fact.
That's right, without question. I believe it as well. Good job there, John. Mm-hmm. So there you go, a little bit of Lunchtime Confessions here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, as John alluded to, it's a Thursday, so let's do some buy or sell. Are you buying what these various folks in sports are trying to sell you? 713-572-4610 is the number to text to play along. Let's do that next. That's right, Mr. Big Voice Man. It is In the Loop here on Sports Radio 610 from the 614 on the text line. Okay, guys, McDaniel is fired. Any chance on a reunion? Any thoughts on bringing him in for the offense? I know. Playoff run, but that offense stinks. All right, first and foremost, we talked about this earlier today. We talked about this actually in the outset of the show, 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. So if you have the Odyssey app, you can hit the rewind button. You can also go to the podcast page once the show is over or at some point. And go back and check out our thoughts on it. That's one way of getting at it there. But then there's also a little bit of news. Kayvon Wallace is back on the practice squad, so that's one safety. There's a little bit of news that there's an expectation that today we should be seeing Jalen Reed, the rookie safety, return or have a designation to return applied to him today. Remember, he was the one who had the plate in his arm broken, and so it looks like he will be able to return, and I imagine that means that maybe in this game, maybe you know, in the next game, he should have be another safety option for you. So those are some of the things that's happening. Oh, and then the other thing that I forgot to mention, Juwan Jordan seeming like dealing with an injury that's maybe somewhat substantial, I guess, is the way that I should say it.
High ankle sprain always is.
Yeah, after what looked like a hip drop tackle, even though
that's how
it was
Joe
not
Mixon
called
started
as.
Out, isn't it?
Yeah,
no,
I but
did. Yeah.
I can't say definitively.
See you next year, Juwan.
I feel like something else happened to Joe Mixon.
What's the street saying?
That's right.
All right, that's neither here nor there. Let's do a little buy or sell, John Lopez.
All right, let's start. I'd like to start locally. So let's start with Cal McNair.
Oh, yeah.
Cal McNair and Hannah joined Payne and Pendergast this morning. And they
earlier this week.
This morning. This week. That's not what he said. He did say this.
You knew it was there. You just couldn't believe you were 0-3.
Yeah. I told Coach, this may be the best thing to happen to you. And he said, what? I said, yeah, if you were 3-0, you'd think you're a really great team and really cooking. And you got a lot to work on this team. And he goes, yeah, we got a lot to work on. And yet you're one play away. You're a fumble going in to score. You're a missed tackle to win the game. And you get those. And now you get to really roll your sleeves up. Test the mettle of your team, and you got to be better and really get this thing turned around.
All right, so the buy or sell is the first part. Cal McNair, the owner of the Texans, told D'Amico when they were 0-3, this may be the best thing to happen to you.
I'm buying this? I don't know if I should. This is where I'm realizing I haven't spent enough time with Cal.
Yeah.
Because the time that I spent with Cal, in my mind, I'm like, Cal ain't going out of his way to like, oh, well, I need to jump in and find a way to motivate you in this moment, but also I am not – I don't have the relationship that D'Amico clearly has with this organization and with that family. And then also that ownership wants to make sure to inspire confidence.
Yeah.
But I think that this is indicative of just how much they believe in D'Amico, that an 0-3 start doesn't do any level of shaking or anything. They firmly believe, like I said, top to bottom, the propaganda, and I say that with genuine love for what they do. They believe it. They believe the hype. They believe they're true believers, as Seth has been calling them, all the way up. And so I truly believe that in that moment of being 0-3, Cal McNair, the owner, has one, belief that this is a good team and that they will be a good team, and two, belief in D'Amico Ryan's ability to the point to be like, this is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
You'll make this work. And he was right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm buying it too. I think, and honestly, I think he probably needed that 0-3 start right there because – we never seen D'Amico in this way. It felt like he just came in and had success, but now he had to change some things too. Remember, he gave up play calling and he had to work on some things. Yeah. I think that helped for everybody.
Yeah, I believe it too, for the reason that Reggie pointed out. I think they understand and believe in who they have. All right, next, tell me if you're buying or selling this. D'Amico Ryans makes an appearance in Buy or Sell this week. He was asked about how much he's thought about making a run in the playoffs and potential Super Bowl.
It's all about one game. Right? What I mean, that's all we can handle, and that doesn't change for me. It's all about one game. So we go and handle the one game we have right now. You go and handle it the right way, then you earn the opportunity to get one more game, and you keep going. That's the message.
Mega buying this.
Really?
It's been a one-game-ass season for him all the way across. Plus, you saw how he reacted to everybody asking him about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Y'all really like the Steelers, huh?
Right? And it felt like that very much was a, I haven't gotten a chance to really even dig into the Steelers yet. I think he is where his feet are, and the things that present themselves in the moment are the things that he has to deal with. I think he is very much focused on what is directly in front of him, which it feels like they need to be.
Yeah, I'm buying it too. I think that's how you got to look at it at this point in the playoffs. You can't get too greedy. It's one thing to do it during the season, but right now I think you really got to focus. You got to really take this as one game at a time. I know that's a cliche, but you really got to. You can't just look ahead, especially during this time.
I'm selling this one.
Okay.
I think it's just not because they're not focusing as much as they can and doing as much as they can to do just focus on this one game. But the guy is a human being. I mean, he is a human being like all of us. Like, you're not telling me that at some point he's thought or spent some time, chatting with other coaches like, hey, man, but this could get good.
But see, the thing is, I feel like they've been here before. This is the third year in a row.
Human nature is all I'm talking about.
I think it'd be one thing if this was his first time in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you kind of like, damn, all these teams is beatable.
Mm-hmm. I think it's human nature. But I also think he's got, as an Alabama dude, I think he's got that Nick Saban to him, though, where I think he sometimes relishes the opportunity to have a coachable moment. And week 18, funny enough, provided a coachable moment. We talked about the idea that he seemed like he was kind of upset at the defense and the way that they finished. I think that even if there is a passing moment, he is consumed with, I need to work on this to make sure that this defense is maximum tip-top ready. And I think there's also, whether it's explicit front of mind or back of mind, an understanding that I put this team in a situation where it's going to be small margins, so we got to make sure there are no errors to be able to get through this, and that's a week-to-week proposition.
All right, are you buying or selling? Chris Ballard, how about that? They're running a back with Chris Ballard over in Indianapolis. Quote, I would do the Sauce Gardner trade again.
Sell. I think you got to be smoking something to say that out loud. And I'm not saying that there's reasons to believe that that's a good trade for them. I just can't think that the luck that happens after it, where now your quarterback situation gets dicier, because this is not an injury where you just go, oh, well, next year Daniel Jones is back.
Yeah.
This could hamper his abilities, even if he was going to be an answer. And you can't tell me with the additional information that knowing that your quarterback's going to get hurt on the back end of this doesn't change the way that you do things. In fact, if you are going to tell me that, which he is, I think that's fireable.
Yeah, I'm selling it too. And I'm sure he have to say he'd do it again. It sound kind of weird if he said, yeah, I wouldn't do the trade if I knew all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, it's you pretty much handcuff at this point. You can't get the quarterback you probably want to get now. You done for the next 2 years as far as a first round pick.
Yeah.
So nah, I'm selling that.
I am selling that one as well. All right, you buying or so? Let's stay with the Colts. Carly Ursay Gordon, quote: "The sense of urgency has never been higher."
I will buy that because it feels like there's a de facto ultimatum on the table. Get it done this year or get gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that would create a sense of urgency. So I will buy that in the most literal sense.
But what was it last year? This year? Figgy, you buying it? Never been higher?
I will say because yesterday I was kind of torturing them a little bit because I felt like they should have made some type of move. But I'm actually going to buy this because I feel like if they don't get it done, if they have a bad year next year, then they probably will clean house.
Mm-hmm.
But the urgency is up high because you got to find a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what quarterback they could possibly get, but they got to have a quarterback. You ain't going to have Daniel Jones next year, I don't think.
Yeah. I kind of posed the opposing viewpoint for you, but I do actually buy it too, just because the urgency is you get fired. I don't think they knew he was going to get fired.
No, you got it. You got to do something. You got to take this serious.
They're all getting
so
fired.
They might go.
They
might go out guns blazing.
Yeah.
And I think that the reason why, compared to your counterpoint of what was last year, she didn't start as the decision maker last year.
Yeah.
And I think Jim Irsay had some level of soft spot for Chris Ballard that I think Carly might not have. In the same exact way, even though she has been close to everything,
yeah.
Or at least she might have a little bit more clarity to be able to pull the trigger.
Right. All right. A little bit uncomfortable, a little bit of a two-parter on the next buy or sell. Are you familiar with Matt Khalil?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Oh,
Did you see the news?
I didn't see the news.
So Matt Khalil and his supermodel soon-to-be ex-wife, Haley Khalil, Haley went on a podcast and said she divorced Matt Khalil because of, quote, his invasive manhood. In other words,
excuse me?
Well, let me illustrate it the way she did. She used the phrase two Coke cans, maybe three.
I'm uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable.
Well,
now.
Apparently she was too.
All right.
Because that's she said that the
I'm sending this one out. y'all got it.
We're doing it the right way. We're being careful.
What the hell are we buying or selling?
Do you believe that? Oh, here's the first part. That's the first part. Glad you asked. That's the reason she filed for divorce? That's the reason?
I don't know what their relationship was before. And the reason why I say that is, you know, some people live a lifestyle, sometimes religiously, where they do not know each other in a carnal way before.
Mm-hmm.
And if that was the case, maybe yes. My intuition tells me that they might have known each other in a carnal way before. And that's why I go, nah, I don't think that's it.
Right.
I'm going to sell that.
There's a lot of other things. I'm selling it.
Yeah, I'm going to sell it too, but that's a hell of an endorsement.
Shout out to her.
Figgy, I'm glad you said
that. Sure, I'm sure all the women that heard that gave him a follow
what
on
a
social
woman.
Media.
Okay, I'm glad you said that because that leads to directly to
because it would have been the opposite with other women.
Right. Part two of this buy or sell. Matt Khalil is suing her. Because.
For what?
Again, Figgy, you're on top of it. Quote, invasion of privacy and embarrassment. You think he's mad
they
that
got
two Coke cans is out there?
Well, actually, I wish you had told me this first because I am definitely selling that first part. Clearly, they're petty. And this pettiness ain't over manhood. You know
I
what
put
mean?
It on a billboard.
There's a pet.
This got to be it. They got to be gearing up for a reality show or something.
Maybe. Like it's.
This can't be real.
It's possible that that's the case, or whatever they have is some level of pettiness that they were like, "We will do emotional and mental warfare,"
because
that's what's happening there. We're seeing the stuff up top. We're seeing the tip of the iceberg. Something is happening beneath there, and I don't want to know anything about
it. So you're selling?
Yes.
Of course you're selling.
Yeah, I'm selling it. This got to be some type of podcast happening, some type of reality show. Man, this can't be real.
There's also a good point being made by Rob on the YouTube page. If it's not true and she's saying that, boy, she's setting up future endeavors for real disappointment.
Who cares?
Who
cares?
You're a false bill of goods every time out?
Yeah, but it's a lot of times out.
You sure?
Hey,
you sure?
Hey, a lot of women do the opposite.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, a lot of women do the total opposite.
Yeah. I think they're both lying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The moral of the story here is they've got some deeper issues happening underneath there that they have somehow coated with some of the weirdest stories that I've ever heard.
The moral of the story is y'all crazy. That's my takeaway. Y'all crazy.
Clearly.
They are clearly crazy.
Yeah. All right. That's a little buy or sell here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, is Kay Adams right about the Texans with this take that she gave? I'll let you hear it next.